Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Quaslin. I am one of the hosts, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife on the line. Quaslin, are you there, honey?
Hello, I'm here.
All right, I got my baby down there in the kitchen whipping it up for the fam. We finna eat good. But anyway, our show on tonight, we're talking about is abortion ever right? On Family Matters with Kenny and Quaslin, we normally discuss real issues that families of all races and ethnicities face. Now, how can we deal with these issues as families, Christians, and as a society? Again, thank you for joining us on our Free Flow Friday on tonight as we discuss abortion and how it affects our families. I will now go ahead and open up the lines. I have my first caller on the air, one of our good and faithful callers and listeners, Pastor Michelle.
How you doing, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quasimodo?
What's going on?
Hey, Pastor Michelle.
How you doing? Not much. Just waiting for Free Flow Friday.
Amen, amen. Are we looking forward to hearing what my wife is going to be discussing along with everyone else and see what everyone else is going to bring to the table on tonight.
Amen.
All right, honey, the floor is yours, babe.
Nobody else is on yet?
Not yet. But the phone call people will be chiming in soon, and I just have to interrupt and tell you I got new callers.
All right. Well, while we're waiting to see if anyone else calls in, before we get into that, how is everybody doing with everything that's going on now? How y'all feeling? What's going on? What y'all got to... What do you all have to say to the people of God?
Ooh, well, to the people of God, I want to say that it's really time for us to stop playing this pity pat. I'm worried about what somebody gonna think, and just start giving people the raw and uncut truth, the true and unadulterated word of God. Because I'm telling you, it's just time out for all of the foolishness. And we got our Christians who are too scared to talk and too scared to say things instead of saying what thus says the Lord. We're saying we're praying, but are we really praying? That's what I'm wondering. So that's all I got right now.
I agree with you, Pastor Kenny. I agree with you. Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay. I really, really feel that we have gone so far away from God as the generations go on that we just really look too much like the world. I noticed that people would put things on their Facebook and dare you to challenge them, and people won't challenge them. They'll just agree with the foolishness. But the moment we stand up for Christ, people want to unfriend you, or they want to say something nasty, or try to use the scripture against you when they're living any kind of way. And we're supposed to accept this, and it's just falling away. We're just falling away, and we're accepting too much of what the world wants us to accept, or what they feel that is right. We're Christians, so we can't judge nothing. We can't say anything to nothing and nobody unless we're on the side of everybody. That's how I feel.
I agree. All right, hon, I need to interrupt for a minute. We got a new caller just came in.
Go ahead.
All right. Caller ending in 4620. You're on the air.
Good evening. I hope everybody's doing well.
Hey, Miss Faye.
Hey, Miss Faye. What's going on?
Oh, so much, so much.
I love it. Knows. I know, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, we're so glad you're calling in because we want to hear what's going on in our hometown because we are sure that there's an uproar even in Macon, Georgia alone on just all of the nonsense that's happening in the world today, regardless of race. But I'm sure there's a whole bunch of things that are going on. So we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say on tonight. So your line, of course, is always open, Ms. Faye.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, we got another caller came in, hon. Caller in again, 8225. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Future. I'm doing great.
You're trying to be funny. Hey, Future.
Oh, what you trying to be funny for, Kenny?
Nothing. I'm just glad to hear you called in, sis.
Oh, okay. Well,
how you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How about you, sis?
Well, I can't complain. You know, we on the line right now, and the line is hot. You know, we got about a good fresh five callers on the line right now, and we're talking about the things that's going on in the world, to include the topic on tonight about abortion.
Whoa.
Yeah. Going to be a good topic, and then we're going to also talk about, I guess my honey boo is going to talk about what, you know, she's asking the callers on the line about what they're thinking about what's going on. So we're going to keep your line open. If you have anything to say, you're welcome to do so. And I need to bring this new call in. You there?
Who?
Keish.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I just need to
Oh, okay. All right. All right. You got silent on me now. Don't do that, Dada. All right. Stand by, though. We got you, though. All right. Well, you know, I be trying to give people the opportunity to talk. I don't want to over-talk nobody.
Let's be professional, people. Professional.
Yeah. All right, dear. Okay, we have our next caller. Well, our next two callers. Caller ending in 5359. You're on the air.
Good evening. This is Janelle.
Hi, Janelle. How you doing today?
Hey, Janelle.
I'm doing well. Hello.
Awesome. Well, we're glad you called in on tonight. We always enjoy hearing you call in and hear what you have to say on tonight or every night that we have our show. Sorry about the cancellation on Tuesday, though.
No problem.
All right, your line is always open, so we'll keep it open. And if you have anything to say on tonight, ma'am, please feel free to do so.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. All right, our next caller ending in 1844. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastors Kenny and Quadrant, how y'all doing?
What it do,
hey,
miss?
What's up?
What's up? Hey, we hope you had a blessed week on this week.
I did. I definitely did. Did you have a good week, a blessed week also?
Yeah, I'm a little stressful here and there, but hey, thank God it's over.
Okay, amen. Amen. Get rejuvenated and get on to the next week.
Amen. Well, you know, we got a hot topic on our Free Flow Friday on tonight. My honey is
okay.
Asking a couple questions about what's going on in the world and what we're thinking. So your line is open if you have anything to add to the conversation on tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, dear. All lines are open. Carry on.
Yes, I was asking, how's everybody, you know, feeling on tonight? What do you have to say to the people, you know, with everything? We have another killing, another two killings, actually. You know, well, I guess three also, if you look.
Yes.
The one that died in the riot. So what do you guys have to say? What are you feeling? Do you have anything to say about the things going on before we move on to the topic? Any encouragement? Any just what are you guys thinking?
Sure. Sure. If I may add, one thing that I'm noticing, right, and a lot of different ethnicities and races are actually to the point where they're fed up with seeing just these atrocities happening around the world, around our nation, period. But there still seems to be, you know, just people from our race, and I'm just going to keep it 100 on tonight, that people from our race that seem to be one-track minded and thinking that there are only blacks that are being targeted. No, this hate is ruining the lives and family members of all races. So I wish we would just all learn and understand that it's not just happening. It's not just happening to the blacks, or it's not just happening to the whites or the Latinos or the Asians. It's happening to everybody, all races. We got to stop trying to discredit one another's race and quit acting like one race is superior and the other one is inferior to the African American descent, because it's not. It's not. When God made us as creation, God didn't say, "Hey, I'm gonna make you right here, you know, my few and chosen people that you know you're special. Can't nobody touch you. Can't nobody say nothing to you. Can't nobody harm you." But that's what it seems to have happened. And I'm kind of fed up with seeing that. And I really would like to see people stop trying to say, you know, that other lives don't matter. We're all living in the same world, the same atmosphere, breathing the same air. And if one of us get cut, we all gonna bleed the same color blood.
Amen. Anybody else? What y'all feeling on Free Flow Friday? What y'all got to say? Anybody?
Uh-oh. I'm actually glad Kenneth said what he just said, because it is all races. And with me, you know, I'm constantly watching the news and reading. And whites are also being killed by police. And I think a lot of us don't realize that. And black lives do matter. And I also feel that black lives need to matter to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest problem that we are having, that is the key to it all, is that four-letter word hate.
Mhm. Okay.
And I know here recently there were the last student here was on last Thursday, and that one actually hit home for me, because that one happened at my nephew's home. And knowing that, I got a call yesterday and a message sent to me today that the one that got killed at the bar and the one that got killed here at the apartment, they have been arrested for those kids. So that's a relief to get them off the street. And the sad part about it, you got two young men that's only 17 and 18 years old with guns.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a people need to come up with a solution on what can we do. And, you know, I've asked and I've been talking, and I got a meeting that's going to happen Monday with a pastor and some more activists on what we can come up with and do. But this road is not easy. It's not easy at all. I mean, you got people from all that's going through so much, and you don't know why they go through what they go through to bring them out on the streets like they're out there joining these gangs and wanting to rob others. You just have no clue to what these young men are going through, and even young women.
Yeah,
I'm asking God to constantly guide me and give me knowledge and understanding and push me in the right direction as he ordered my steps to do what I can do But this is not an easy road, and you're so right. It's not just the blacks have been killed by police. Whites have been killed by police as well. But we got to do, I mean, and what people need to realize, all cops are not bad. You got some out there that are awful, but all cops are not bad. All white people are not bad. All black people are not bad.
That's right. That's right now. You're right about
but
that.
But we have come up into an, we have been raised in society. They want to talk about slavery. Way back then, I don't know nothing about slavery. I wasn't no slave.
Yeah.
They just found excuses to me for everything. But all I know, we got to do better as a people. We got to stand firm. When a cop kill a black person, you see them protest. You see them angry speaking. You see them holler about Black Lives Matter. But it bothers me really bad when we kill one another. And I said the other day, you can hear a rat piss on cop, nobody does nothing.
Yep. It's just another picture on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
That's it. Or another teddy bear hung on a light pole. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. But we got to do something. We got, you know, I had some pastors that told us that we hadn't been standing out there on the corner because standing out there on the corner was their job. And but they had lost focus on doing what they need to do because they had got caught up in fame and they had got caught up in popularity, and they wanted to apologize for the community for not being there for them. But that next week we got out there, they still went out there. So, you know, it's just sad. It's just really sad.
Yeah. Hey, dear, I got four new callers just came in, hon.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay. All right. Caller in again, 2788. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
How are you?
I am good. My name is Shantae. This is my second time on the air with you all.
Hey, Shantae.
Hey, Shantae. Yeah, welcome back.
How are y'all?
Good. Yep, good.
That's good.
Had an eventful week, but we're glad we're good. You're good, man. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, you're fine.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you again for calling. And as always, we're going to keep your line open. So if you have anything to add to the conversation on tonight, just chime on in.
Okay, I will.
All right. Calling in again, 5683. You're on the air. Calling
hi
in again, 5683.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, go
good evening.
Ahead.
This is Lola from Canada. It's my first time, but I've been wanting to join, yeah.
All right, Ms.
Lola,
how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, well, we definitely appreciate you for calling, ma'am, and your line will be open, so please feel free to chime in on the conversation and the topic on tonight.
Amen.
All right. Calling in again, 1998. You're on the air.
Hello, my name is Aria. I'm a first-time listener, and I look forward to joining and listening into the conversation.
Hey, Evangelist Aria.
Hey.
Hi, Pastor Quadulin and Pastor Kenny.
How you doing?
I am doing great. I look forward to listening in.
All right. Well, we thank you for calling, ma'am. Your line will be open.
Thank you.
Calling in again, 8277. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Great. Hey, how are you?
No, I had to call in. I almost forgot.
It's all good. We sure appreciate you for calling in.
Thank you.
Well, your line is open, ma'am. So you have... Okay. I'm sorry. Your line is open. So you always know if you have anything to add to the conversation, please feel free to do so.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Call in again, 0135. You're on the air.
Hello, everybody. It's Keto. Just calling to see what's going on tonight.
What's
hey,
up, brother?
Keto.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Man, I cannot complain. I can't complain at all. I'm on vacation, and I'm definitely enjoying myself. I'm decompressing.
Man, I'm jealous. Well, brother, you know your line is open, man. So if you have anything to add to the conversation on the night, please feel free to do so.
I definitely will do. Thank you.
All right. Got one new caller, honey.
Oh, Lord, we got a full line. Go ahead.
All right. Caller in again, 6543. You're on the air.
Great, great.
What's going on, Pastor Keenan, Pastor Quadman? How y'all doing?
Hello,
hey.
How you doing?
I'm going fine. I'm going fine. I just got on, so I don't know what the topic is right now.
Well, we haven't started the topic yet. We're just talking about how everybody's feeling right now. We're about to get started, though, after I say what I got to say.
Okay.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You know your line will be open. And you're welcome. Thank you for calling. And I just, before we get started on the topic, I just wanted to say that, first of all, I would like for everybody to stay encouraged. I know we've talked about this before, you know, the last time we had, you know, a killing and everything. But I want everybody to stay encouraged. And I do agree with Kenny and with Faye. You know, we as people of God, we have to have a different perspective. We know racism exists and all of that, but Faye, like you said, it does boil down to hate. And so we have to see the enemy for who the true enemy is. And that's what we have to do. And we need to seek God and ask God, how should we handle this? How should we go about this? And I know people are looking, Faye, like you said, the pastor said, well, we should be the one standing on the corner. Well, you know, as people of God, I think that we all have a part to play. And if we do our part, then I just believe the word of God, and I do believe that the effectual and fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I do believe that, you know, whatever we ask God in the name of Jesus, that he would do so that he may be glorified. So I do think that we have to go back to the word of God and ask God, how should we handle this? How should we do this? And this is just me personally. I know people don't have to agree with me, and that's okay. I think that we have to get to a point where we're able to sit down and have conversations without being defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because not all white people that are trying to talk to us are saying, you know, well, maybe we should do this or maybe it should be done. Not all of them are prejudiced. Not all of them, you know, are racist. Not all of them hate us. And I just believe that because we were all made by God. Now, we do have some that do hate us. You know, you have some of us that hate them, since it's, you know, us and them. But we're all people. But we have to get to a point where we're able to sit down and we're able to have the conversations and not be on the defense because I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter and then I'm ticked off because I feel like you don't understand what I'm saying and you're ignorant because you don't understand what I'm saying and, you know, and then nobody's getting anywhere. Well, let's have the conversation. Okay, so you say this because the fact of the matter is they may see things one way, we may see something else, but we're trying to get to the same place. We're trying to get to the same, you know, destination, the ones that want equality, the ones that want to see justice served. And there are a lot of whites that are getting killed, Hispanics and everybody, by cops and other people. You know, they're getting killed, and we know, but when it happens to a black person, we know it's blown up in the media. And so then if we say, well, if somebody says, well, there are more whites that are getting killed, then we say, well, but, yeah, it's less black, so they're, you know, the percentage is higher, which we know that's true. That's true. However, in a way, to me, that kind of devalues their lives.
Yeah, you're right.
And their lives have value, too. Everybody's life has value. And so as people of God, I just think that we need to take the stand. We need to be in the forefront, you know, leading with love, praying for the hearts of these people to change, because we do need change, praying for God to change the hearts and just, you know, praying and again, asking God what to do and being obedient to what he tells us to do. We don't have to wait for anybody else to do it. God can use all of us in our own little ways, even if it's discussing something with two people, three people, or whatever. Pastor Michelle did an awesome scope on today. And if you guys haven't heard it, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. And it really blessed me. It truly did. And we have to stay focused, because the way we're going, things are not changing. They're getting worse. And there is a way that things will get better. Like Pastor Michelle said earlier, hate is not going to go as long as the devil is around. It's just not, you know. He has an agenda. He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't care who you are. That's just it. He's trying to devour. He's seeking who he can devour. That's what he does. That's just what he does, whom he can devour. So as long as he's there, things will be. However, we cannot, like you said, Kenny, Pastor Michelle, you know, I agree with all of you guys, Faye. We cannot look like the world. We shouldn't even be talking like the world. We shouldn't be sounding like the world. And I'm not even just saying in, you know, just everyday life. I'm talking about in this situation. We really do have to seek God for his heart and what he desires for us to do in this. And we have to just continue to believe that change can happen. And why do I say that? I say that because we serve a God that is bigger than everything that is going on. We just do. Change can happen. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I have so much more that I could say, but I'm going to stop right there. And so I just want to encourage you guys, keep your eyes on God. Don't feel, you know, discouraged. Don't be in despair. Just know that God can and he will if we do what he tells us to do. Does anybody else have anything to say before we move on to talking about the topic? Move on to the topic.
Yes, I do, Pastor Courtney. I think you said the key thing is being God, because God is not in the equation in anybody's life at those point in time. And so therefore the value of life has deteriorated, because the value of life, people don't appreciate life to the point to where it's easy to make that easy decision. And it is an easy decision, because when you decide to fire the trigger or whatever the case may be, it's a split second. So therefore that decision, to the escalation of force to take someone's life, there's no value in that. And you say there's no value in it because sometimes they think of fear being a key factor in one of those things. But why do you fear us? If you are of God, you wouldn't fear any other person. And that's the that's the key thing that all I'm saying is I fear for my life. I felt endangered because of someone's size or the way someone looks. So when you have you don't have God in the equation, then you your value of life is lessened. So you don't think of preserving someone else's life to where you can let somebody just lie in the street and bleed to death, or you can just, you know, pull the trigger because of what you think may be going on. And there's no value in there. People don't value lives like they used to anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
I completely agree. And we do. We have to value life, everybody's life. And if we come together as a unified force, regardless of race or ethnicity, if we come together, things can change. But we have to be willing to put aside, you know, the minor disagreements, the hashtag disagreements, you know, be okay with the fact that this white guy doesn't understand what it's like to be black. he never will. He's not black, you know. So he's not going to know what it's like. But sometimes we get upset. Well, you'll never know what it's like to be a black man. They won't, you know. But it doesn't mean that white man may not care. Now, we know we have a lot of them that don't care. We got to stop wasting our time on those people. I mean, we look on Facebook. I mean, these arguments, they just go on and on. And nobody's getting anywhere. Nobody's getting anywhere because if you have somebody that's hateful, that's racist, that's what, they're not going to listen to what you have to say. They're just not going to listen. It's going to take God to change their heart because what we say is not going to do it. So they're not going to listen. So let's spend our time talking with and focusing on those who are, you know, who are trying to get to the same destination as we're getting. And if we come together and we listen to each other, then we can, you know, a difference can be made, a change can be made, because it is getting out of, this is getting out of hand. These police are just, not all police, like you said, Faye, not all police are bad. We have a lot of great police, but the ones that are, they are.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
know,
the justice system,
you know,
needs to be just. Go ahead.
Yes, but you know what? You made a statement just now that I totally agree with, and so did the gentleman that just spoke. You made a statement that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I always say that I have enough common sense to know that the killing, the robbery will never stop. But I believe in my heart, wholeheartedly, that we can slow them down. And that
mm-hmm.
come with what the gentleman said about being fearful. You know, if you see God and he ordered the steps, you'll know that you don't have to fear no man. Because with me, I know God is protecting me. I know he got a seal of protection over me. So therefore, I will walk these streets. I will talk to the gang members. I will do that. I will talk to these young boys. I have no fear of that young man. I have no fear of that gang member. God said I didn't have to fear them. But once we get away from being afraid and start uniting as one, we can make a difference. But not until then.
Yep.
That's right.
That's right, baby. We got a new caller. Go ahead, Miss Way.
You know, everybody want to say, as soon as it happened to someone that got killed, they want to say rest in peace. They want to say rest in heaven, or they want to talk about how sad this situation was. But what did you do to help prevent that situation from happening?
Come
what
on now, that's
do?
Real.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's real. That's the truth.
That blood actually lies on your hand because you decided that you wasn't going to get out here and do nothing. And you know everything that's going on. And it tears me to pieces when I hear, well, I know who did it. And then if they know who did it, they're not going to go to the authorities. And then the next thing they'll come up with, well, how much you going to pay me to tell you who did it? That's wrong.
It is.
That's wrong. But until you lose a family member, until you lose someone close to you like a child, you will know what that hurt and that pain and that anger feels like. But until then, you won't know.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we got two calls just came in.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, caller ending in 2126. You're on the air.
Good evening. This is Geraldine Stanford. How are you all this evening?
Hey, Mima.
Great, Mima. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you all doing this evening?
All right.
I just caught a tiny bit of the discussion. What's the topic?
Well, we hadn't even got into the topic yet. We were just talking about how we're feeling about everything going on right now. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, just trying to give a word of encouragement and talking about how we can make a difference.
Okay.
That's what we were talking about. But we're about to get into the topic, though.
Oh, okay. I see. Good. Well, what I've heard so far is interesting.
Good. Thank you for calling. As always, we love to hear what you have to say.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to listen to you all, too. I look forward to it.
Okay. Your line will be open, Mima.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Caller in again, 1-398. You're on the air.
It's Miss Brenda. How's everybody tonight?
Good,
hey,
Miss
Brenda.
Sorry, I'm so late. I just got home.
Oh,
so I'm waiting to listen to. I caught the tail end, but I'm not gonna say nothing. But I'm waiting on the topic too.
Well, please feel free to say something if you have to say what you have to say. That's why we're here. We need to make a difference.
Okay.
But your line will be open, so we can go ahead and get into the topic. We can go ahead and get into the topic. Is abortion ever right? Now, we know this is Free Flow Friday. We got a line full of people, so we're looking to hear what you guys have to say. Now, we know that abortion is a big debate in America. In the Christian community, you know, the most Christians, from what I know, do not agree with abortion. Aborting a baby. There's a question that goes, you know, that a lot of people disagree on. When is a baby a baby? At what stage is a baby a baby? You know, you guys know what I mean. Some people believe at conception. That is my belief, my personal belief. Some people believe after the baby is born. Some people believe mid-pregnancy. You know, when is a baby a baby? So I guess we'll start with that question. Free Flow Friday, does anybody have anything to say? When is a baby truly a baby?
I believe a baby is truly a baby. I believe a baby is truly a baby at the point of conception. And the reason why is if I right now was to go out and to, you know, say I went out and killed a pregnant woman, okay, it doesn't matter how far along that baby is, I'm going to get charged for two murders. You know what I mean? So that's part of the reason why I believe a baby is a human being from the point of conception. You know what I mean? You are pregnant with another living thing from the point of conception. So why wouldn't it be considered a baby from that point?
Exactly. Anybody else? And please feel free to say whatever you feel. This is what Free Flow Friday is all about. We're not here to bash or anything like that. Everybody's open, everybody's mature. So don't hold back on what you have to say. Anybody else?
Yes. Well, I also believe that at the moment of conception, a baby is a baby, because we have to look at the key word in the matter. We're talking about a living being. Keyword living. So if it's living, you know, if the baby is living on the inside of you. Most people think that because of the baby being small and being in the various very early stages of life, that, you know, you got to have eyeballs first. You got to have feet and hands, and you got to have this. At the moment that baby is considered living, that baby has a heartbeat. It's just a matter of the baby growing large enough for the heartbeat to be detected.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes, ma'am. Pastor Cardinal, this is Rhea. I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
On this topic, I might have a little too much experience with it, but I believe at conception, a baby is a baby. And for anyone, personal opinion, for anyone to go any further and think anything else is justification to make you feel okay with what you're doing or what you're a part of or what you've been a part of. It becomes justification. A baby is a baby at the beginning.
Okay.
I agree.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody think a baby is not a baby at conception? You guys, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Anybody? No? Okay. Now, we know that there are cases when a woman is pregnant and, you know, on down the line in the pregnancy, they find out that something is severely wrong with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, medical conditions, mental retardation, just different things like that. And there are cases where the doctor will encourage the woman, the mother, to the mother and the father, rather to abort the baby because they, you know, because of the quality of life that the baby will have or not have. Now, we're a Christian-based show, so as a Christian, do you guys feel that that is an acceptable reason to abort the baby?
Pastor Quantum?
Yes.
Sometimes when the doctors actually give this information to the parent early in the pregnancy, and even sometimes when it's farther along in the pregnancy, the doctor says, oh, this is, I've known cases where the doctor has said, this is going to be a Down syndrome baby, you should abort it, this baby is going to have health issues, you should abort it. And I've known cases where the babies were not aborted, and they weren't, the diagnosis was not even true. So even though the doctors may give out this diagnosis, we must remember that they are practicing physicians. And even if a child is born, this is my personal opinion, if a child is born with physical or mental disabilities, you know, this is close to my heart because that's what I do, there's a place for them. You would be surprised at what purpose God has for these people that are different. We're all different in some way or another, you know, whether it be with physical or mental disability, are we just crazy? And some of us are just crazy, but we're here for a purpose. So my it's true. But in my personal opinion is that I would not think that that was a reason to abort a child because, number one, God is the giver of life, first and foremost. And that life has a purpose, whether we know it or whether we don't know it, and even whether we experience it or not, that life has a purpose. And number three, he or she is a living being, and if God has seen fit for them to be conceived, then who or what makes us little g gods that we can just say, oh no, that person does not have a right to life, so we're going to abort them. So I don't even agree with abortion even in that instance. That's just my personal opinion and why.
Well, thank you, Mima. Thank
Pastor
you very
much. I have something to say about it.
Go ahead, ma'am.
So that was actually my mother talking, and she was there with me when I had like four or five doctors standing around me trying to get me to abort my youngest son because they said he had neural tube defect and Down syndrome, that he would never walk or have any type of quality of life. My husband was in Italy at the time, and I had these doctors badgering me, trying to send me down to Eglin Air Force Base to get a medical abortion. And I stood my ground and I said, no, whatever God gives me in a child and whatever quality of life that child has, it'll be between God and my baby and himself. And so I fought. It was hours they harassed me because they wanted to drive me right then and there. And today, 17 years later, my son does not have either of those. Actually, what he does have is he uses both sides of his brain equally. He has a photographic memory, very, very smart, very talented, and he has nothing that the doctor says that he has. So I don't think that, for me personally, it doesn't matter
whatever child that God gives me, whatever child he allows me to raise and be in this world, then that's just what it is, disabilities and all.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. And I'm going to come back to you. I have a question for you once everyone says what they have to say. Okay.
Okay. I had a scripture that came to mind when you asked the question, honey, and it was Deuteronomy 30 and 19, and it reads, "I call heaven and earth to record this thy day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So, Mima, I absolutely agree with what you were saying about, you know, people considering themselves little gods and thinking that they have control and access on whether who lives or who dies. What God is basically saying, therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. All right, so there comes a time where, you know, there are unfortunate events that happen by way of sexual assault, where a woman is impregnated by way of sexual assault.
Baby, don't move to that yet.
I'm sorry. But that's scripture that came to me. And I thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit, for allowing me to think about that scripture. Go ahead, babe. I'm sorry.
Anybody else, please, whatever, you know, you feel, please. Anybody? What do you guys think? Let's talk about it. Nobody wants to talk? It's always so funny when the line is quite dead like that. I know that I've never personally dealt with that. Where I stand with my faith in God, I definitely believe that I would keep my baby, not only from where I stand with my faith, but also in addition, because I've lost babies. And that that's devastating. That's devastating. But, however, I do understand that some women and men, you know, the fathers, they have a fear, which I think is what causes some of those who do, you know, go ahead and make the decision to abort the baby, is because they fear. They fear, you know, they fear not being able to handle it. They fear the financial strain that may come along with it, and just all types of things. That's what I believe. So I want to go back to you, Pastor Michelle, because you've been there. You've had the doctor to say to you, hey, look, this is what you need to do. So if there's someone that is listening or comes back and listens to the show, what would you say to a mother right now who just received a report that she needs to abort her baby because this baby is sick, won't have a quality of life, you know? What would you say to her as a mother that has gone through that?
I would say, Pastor Kenny, can you please read that scripture that you just read?
Yeah, he talking, girl. He on mute. Babe, you on mute.
Okay, I'm sorry. Absolutely. It's Deuteronomy 30 and 19, and it reads, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live."
I would say to them, choose life. Ever adversity comes your way with your child, whatever adversities, disabilities, or whatever the case may be, understand that God is going to equip you with the knowledge and the know-how to take care of that which he had given you in the blessing called a child. So choose life for you and your seed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Anybody else?
There was when my wife was pregnant with Cameron, we got she took a test of some sort. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know it came back abnormal. And the doctor said, you know, that the baby Cameron could have Down syndrome and things of that sort. And when the doctor told me that, I was scared, but I was prepared. You know, I was making preparations to, well, mentally anyway, to have a baby that might have problems. You know, it turned out that once they did the amnio, that everything came out was normal. But I was making the preparation. There was no way that I could tell her, well, you know, the baby's not going to be healthy. Let's just not have it, especially not knowing. And most of y'all know my Cameron. You know what I mean? I wouldn't give up Cameron for the world with all her little attitude and everything. But, you know, like, what's to say, you know what I mean? We would have said, what's just to say that we would have said, you know, let's give up on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then part of me right now wouldn't be here. I don't think I could have done it. Or at least I couldn't have suggested to my wife to do that. I couldn't have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Mm. Go ahead. Who is that? Is that you, Mish?
Yeah, that was me. Now I was thinking about that too when you had brought that up. And, you know, I totally agree with my husband. It was just a mental thing. And like the other lady said, these doctors are just practicing, and it was an Army doctor. So I was, like, just really, really nervous and scared. But I just thank God that everything did turn out just the way it did. And, you know, we have our Cameron, you know, with her lovely self. And, you know, I really don't think, you know, I don't know what I would have done, you know, and I'm glad, you know, just even talking to my mom, she was like, you know, we all will deal with it, you know, regardless of what it comes out, you know, we all will deal with it. And, you know, a lot of that helped me get through, too, because I was scared, like, I didn't know what to do, you know. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Mish. Anybody else? Okay. What if the mother's life is in danger? What if they're saying, okay, you and the baby are going to die? Is that acceptable then? Does that change as fathers? How do you feel? How do you all feel about that? If they say, if your wife carries this baby, she's going to die.
Well, I've actually had personal experience with that one. And until this day, you know, I could not, at that, I just couldn't fathom the emotions that were rushing and running through my head when I had to think and sit down and talk to you, honey, about the decision that needed to be made. And the doctors were, they weren't necessarily pressuring us, but they were basically telling us that, look, a decision has to be made either way. And in saying that, I can remember clear as day the doctor waking me up out of my sleep and telling me that, you know, that the babies were sick, and it's either the babies, I'm sorry, or it's all three of you, your wife and the babies. And, you know, I prayed to God immediately, and I say, Lord, I say, I understand what's happening right now and a decision that has to be made. And I say, Lord, I say, whatever your will is for our family, then you allow it to be spoken and you allow it to be said. So my wife and I, we both prayed about it. We sat and we talked about it, and it just came to the point where there was no way possible for the babies to be saved because they were already too far sick and were infected.
So at that point, I was saying, I was trusting God, that God, you know, I know that all things work together for the good of those that love you. And, Lord, we do love you. And we're trusting that, you know, our girls are coming back to you because you brought them to us and you allowed them to come to bring not only peace for the both of us, but he also allowed for healing to take place. So I truly believe that without a shadow of a doubt that God had a purpose for our babies to come, the time they spent with us, and it was time for them to come back home. So my wife and I both made the decision because we knew that the babies were just too far to be even to be brought back to a generalized health state to where they were at least 95% healthy.
And in that, I just want to, because I know most everybody on the line knows the story, but when I was pregnant with the twins, I was 23 weeks, and I was really sick. There were signs. It was evident that I was sick. And really, Kenny, I think they pretty much had made the decision, even though we when she left out the room, we talked about it and told them bye. But she went from giving us the option to this is what it's going to be because
yeah.
you're going to die.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. And it was I was infected. The signs were there. My temp was up. Just all of the signs of the infection was there. The water was gone. The fluid, amniotic fluid was gone. My water had already broke for one of the twins, and it was pretty much just, you know, they were. Already, my body was already in the process of pretty much aborting them, which is why I went into labor.
Yeah.
And but I was also dying in the process. And so I had to go ahead and deliver them at 23 weeks. And even in that, we know that God, if it was his will, they still could have lived, you know, because their babies are born at 23, 24 weeks, and they live. But our babies didn't, you know, they did not. So just that, I just wanted to give that little, you know, that background of that. But in a situation where you're pregnant and, well, I don't know. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to open up the floor. Anybody else? So if the mother, go ahead.
I'm going to say this. When my daughter was delivering her last baby, the doctor's assistant came in and said that the baby's heart rate was getting weak and she needed to insert a monitor into my daughter. But when she inserted that monitor, into the bag where the afterbirth was that burst and paused my baby's system. And I will never forget them calling Code Blue because as soon as that happened, my baby said that she couldn't breathe. And she said the second time that she couldn't breathe and that's when she went out into a coma. But they rushed to do immediately surgery on her to bring Antiana into this world. But 12 hours later, we did lose my daughter. So, you know, that's a touchy-touchy situation.
It is.
And so you've been through it and she was going to the hospital often, being in labor, but when she got ready to deliver, and that's what she died of, the poison that got into her system. But, yeah,
and that was after, that was due to what the doctor did.
Mm-hmm. What he just did. But I got to also say, you know, God is good because he kept him alive. He still kept one here. He kept the baby here. Not that it has always been easy for me to do that, because I had a young kid.
And, And you're right, Faye, it is touchy. It's a very touchy situation, and, you know, we like to talk about those touchy situations, those things, because they're real. They happen. They happen, and we need to know how to deal with it, you know, the things that people don't really want to talk about. But it's happening. It's happening now, you know, now as we're speaking. So, and I'm sorry to hear that about your daughter. That's just...
Yes, me too.
Anybody else?
You know, that's the quandary. I'm sorry to hear that about her daughter. And see, the thing of it is that we sometimes think we know how we're going to handle a situation, but the truth of the matter is, unless and until it happens to us, we can't know. I mean, but the one thing that we do know is that according to Scripture, and I found it to be true, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, for those that are called, you know, for His purpose. So we know that, and we know that even in that, even in loss, even in, and I've lost, you know, a child as well. So it's a difficult, very, very difficult situation, very hard to talk about, very hard to say what we should or shouldn't do or what we would or wouldn't do, because until it happens to us, again, we don't know. But I would say have faith in God and trust. If we do it now, if you learn to trust God in just every aspect of your life, then you can know. You can know that you know His voice. You can know that you know when He is talking to you and when He's giving you directives and when He's letting you know, then this is what, you know, you should do. There will come a peace. And we think that life and death situations won't happen to us, but they do. They do. They happen to us. If it hasn't happened, keep on living. It will happen. Mm-hmm. Just keep on living. I'm a living testimony that things will happen. But we just have to know that's why we have to be on a solid foundation with God now. So because there will come a time, and again, if it hasn't happened, keep on living. There will come a time mm-hmm. when a situation will be so horrific in your life that you won't even be able to pray. All you can say sometimes mm-hmm. is just Jesus. That's and right, that yeah. will have to be enough because, you know, you have that relationship with God and He knows who you are and He knows. So we all have faced just terrible things in our lives and things that we thought that we never would do. We've done them, you know, mm-hmm. and things that we thought that we would do if a situation happened to us, we didn't do those things, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's good to talk about it. It's good to, you know, get other people's opinion on it. But at the end of the day, it's going to have to be between us and God.
And, you know, Pastor Michelle, you are so right. And in my case, I had already, God had blessed me with 3 children. And I had already lost 2. And that was my only living child. And I would never forget, you know how they want to talk to you in that little room. I couldn't go right. in that little room. For the doctor to talk to me. I just told everybody I'm not going. He can want me all he wants. I'm just not going. So what I did, I went to the chapel because my spirit had started letting me know that my baby wasn't going to make it. And I knew how to go in that chapel with a heavy heart. I can't deny that. But I told him I give her back to you. And I knew how to thank him for giving her to me for 26 years, because he didn't have to do that. He did not have to do that. But I wanted to thank him, and I told him, whatever it is that you want me to do, I would do, because you have chosen me to bring these 3 babies in the world, and you have taken these 3 babies back at an early age. And I knew it was something that he had for me to do. And I told him he knew that this was not easy for me. But I got so much to be thankful for, because I know that we serve a good God, we serve a powerful God, and we serve an awesome God. And I knew that if he wanted to breathe the breath of life back into my babies at any time, he could have done that. But it was his choice that he did not do that. But he allowed Antiana to live. And for that, I'm thankful. And when I look at my position, he took three, but yet he gave me back three.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But, Bay, you're a very strong woman. I cannot imagine. You truly are. And to still have your faith.
Mm-hmm. And not complaining. And that is awesome, because a lot of people, and I know some in her situation, are complaining, God, why did you do this? But I admire you. I just thank God for you, because that's an awesome testimony. And that is true faith.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Thank you so much. All of you for what you're saying so far, because this is a touchy subject, but again, you know, these are the things that need to be talked about. And also, I also wanted to talk about it because I wanted to go on to even talk about how we as a church should tackle these. And when I say the church, I don't necessarily mean the building, but the people of God tackle some of these issues, but face this, because we have a lot of people, a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ, and not just in Christ, but right now I'm talking about in Christ. And then, you know, once we take care of, you know, our brothers and sisters, then we can go out and we can help everybody else. But even though I'm not saying don't go out. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we have, you know, in the church, we still have people that are hurting and dealing with the pain from abortion. And a lot of times it's not talked about, you know, it's buried. They don't talk about it. Sometimes people are embarrassed about it. They feel guilty, you know, anger, depression. And I think, as men and women of God, especially, you know, if we're leaders, we should talk about this, and then we should show love and encourage them to forgive themselves. Because we have a lot of women walking around that have not forgiven themselves for whatever reason they, you know, decided to have an abortion, whether it was because, you know, the baby was sick, or they was, you know, whatever. But it's causing them to be in bondage. And I just want to stress, if there's anybody listening, you know, anybody that comes back and listen to the show, today is the day for you to forgive yourself. If you have asked God to forgive you, he's done that. Now you forgive you, if you haven't. There are a lot of women that have, but there are a lot of women that have not. Forgive yourself, because God still loves you. He does. We all do things, but he still loves us. And so I think we have to address that. We need to talk about that. We need to reach out and just let them know. And then let's not forget the fathers. We talk a lot about, you know, the mothers, but there are fathers out there too who are affected when abortion happens. There, you know, you have women that may abort the baby and the father didn't know, and these fathers are, you know, they're affected. So we also need to remember the fathers. Does anybody have anything?
That's true. That's true. Fathers hurt just as much, because, you know, we're all falling in line of procreating and doing it according to God's will by being fruitful and multiplying. our families. So, you know, granted, you know, the mother's hurt and the father's hurt as well. So thank you, honey, for mentioning that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, we know we have situations where women or young girls, they're raped. And, you know, sometimes people can't handle that. And so they'll abort the baby in that case. And sometimes the women may have the baby and they, you know, some of them have a problem dealing with it. I guess some of them don't. But, you know, like you said, Mima, it's easy to say, and you said too, Faye, it's easy to say what we would do if we haven't been there. So let's, if we haven't, you know, let's try to make sure that we are, you know, being a little more sensitive if we haven't been, you know, to some of these things, because that's deep when you have a woman or a young girl, you know, well, all of it is deep. I'm just saying that they've been raped and then they find themselves and then they end up pregnant. You know, some have the baby. They give the babies up for adoption. I commend them on that. I know I do. Even though they, you know, they don't keep the baby, but still if they have them and, you know, and try to look for them a home, to me, it still takes strength to even do, you know, to do that as well. So I don't know. I just hope that, you know, this kind of brought light to it a little bit more, to talk about it, give us something to think about. And if you know someone, reach out to them. If you know someone that's dealing with it, you know, minister to them. Let them know that they're loved and be there to support them and help them, you know, as best as we can to get to the point of forgiving themselves. And, of course, pray for them. You know, pray that God will help them to get there. And that's pretty much all I have to say about it. Does anybody else have anything to say before we close out the show? Don't be shy if you have something. Go ahead.
I have one thing. We also have to let people know that there are resources, even in the Christian community, especially women that have been battered or raped or just would have a time struggling to take care of a child. There are resources out there that will help you if you decide to keep your baby and you need help. There are resources out there that will help you put your baby up for adoption. There are resources out there that will help you if you have been raped and you want to keep your baby but you don't know how to love that baby. They have support groups out there for all kinds of things now. The internet is not always bad. It can be used for a lot of good. That we, there's no reason that we are not knowledgeable. And so if you run into someone like this and you have no experience on it whatsoever, research, do research. And in doing the research for them, you're researching it for the next time you have to help someone. And also make sure that you find scriptures to back up situations that they're going through. I just know that it's important that in the body of Christ, people are having, young girls are having abortions because they don't want to disgrace their parents that's in the pulpit and things like that, or their mom and their dad are pastors or ministers or they have titles in the church, and so they go and they have these backdoor abortions and they still end up dying. So we got to just open up to your children, open up, just open up. I mean, we're not perfect. We are striving for perfection, but we are not perfect, and we just have to love on people that don't feel the love, and we have to give them the right. I think everybody on this phone is old enough to give someone the right direction or give someone an encouragement or love. And so use your resources that's available to you online for these subjects and topics.
That's right. And, you know, I push counseling, 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 counseling. I push it. If if, you know, you have been a, if you've had an abortion, know someone that has, and they're struggling, you know, they haven't dealt with it, get counseling. There's Christian counseling out there. There's Christian counseling out there. There are Christian counselors in the counseling world, in the secular, you know, in the world, not just in the church. There are Christian counselors. Get counseling. So I'm glad you brought that up, Pastor Michelle, because there are resources. Talk to somebody. You can trust somebody that, you know, will give you the right advice. Talk to somebody. Deal with it. Deal with it, because if we don't deal with things, sometimes we don't deal with things. We try to bury it, and we bury it, and we bury it, but it's still there, and it affects our whole being. It affects our future. It ends up affecting our children because of how some things that we've done, and we don't even realize some of the things that we've buried. So, you know, like Pastor Michelle said, utilize the resources. If you have had a baby and you don't know how to love them, go ahead and admit it, say it. Don't feel bad about saying it, and then get the help that you need in order to, you know, move forward in that. And, of course, prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Because God will do it. He will.
Pastor Kwanzaa, I just want to say, say one thing. You know, there's so much hurt in the body of Christ today, and I'm not just talking about, as you said, in the church. I'm talking about in the body. There's so many people that are hurting, and they don't know. And I just want to say for us that are that we, the body of Christ, the Word of God says that by this shall all men know. Jesus told his disciples, he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. We have got to be accessible. We've got to be approachable. We've got to show ourselves as someone that easily, that so that someone can feel comfortable with us. We've got to show love to those. There are people that come to us, even people that I meet in the street, and I'd be like, why do they want to talk to me? They don't know me. But they sometimes people just out of the blue would just come and talk to me and say, well, you just look like somebody that we can talk to. We've got to be that. We've got to be that person that somebody just feel like that they can talk to, because we don't know who we may meet, you know, in the grocery store, just walking on the street, or, you know, no matter where we are, even in the church, that may need to you know, release themselves from their past. But if we have such a frown on our face, and we are so holy and so high-minded until we're no earthly good, they're not going to come to us. They're not going to come to us. But we have to make ourselves available and approachable, and so that people will come and they will know that we are not, as Pastor Michelle said, we're not perfect. We never will be perfect. Mm-hmm. And we have some mess that has some issues in our lives that we had to work through. I know I did. We've had some issues that we've had to work through, but by the grace of God, we've been able to work through them. And those of us that have been through those things, we need to let people know it's okay. It's okay. You can talk about it. And you don't have to. And some people, they're scared to talk because they think that, oh, she's going to run and tell my pastor, or she's going to run and tell the church or whatever. We've got to let people know that you know, I'm your sister, I'm your brother, I love you, I'm here for you. And I think it's not so much about what we say, it's how we carry ourselves to let them know I am here for you. You know, and if we carry ourselves in such a way that people can come to us, that can help them to open the door to know that there is forgiveness for them, to know that your past is your past, and the future, you don't know what's going on, but we have today, and today God is here, and he's wanting to forgive you. He's wanting to love you. He's wanting to make your life better today. just let us as Christians be more open. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not, you know, accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying this is, you know, my opinion is that we just need to be able to, you know, just to be there, an arm, a shoulder, an ear, just for the body of Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
It does.
Perfect sense. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, and thank you for that. And we walk in love. We have to walk in love, everybody. Love covers a multitude of sins. So we have to walk in love. And if you guys have not seen, again, Pastor Michelle's scope, I'm going to try to post it on my page. Pastor Michelle, can you share it with me? I'll try to post it on my page. I encourage you guys to go back and listen to it. I did a Facebook Live yesterday. If you haven't seen it, please go back and look at it. And God, you know, God's heart matters. God's heart matters in all of this. I know, yes, we say this matter, that matter, and all of that does matter. But we need to know the heart of God because that's what truly, truly matters. Truly matters, and loving each other, being there for each other. You know, let's just make sure we're lending a helping hand, and thank you, Mima. I'll definitely work on my facial expressions even more because that's true. Because I walk around looking like that, but you know, we do have to be approachable and smile sometimes. You know, give a little smile here and there. It's okay. It's really okay. Take out some time and be there for somebody and listen to them, and you know. We have to do that. We need to do better about being there for each other. But I'm finished. I don't have anything else to say. I do thank everyone for calling in on tonight. You guys, stop being so quiet. We want to hear what you have to say. Don't hold back. If you have something to say, say it. Don't worry about being judged or any of that. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to judge. We're not here to do all of that. We're here to talk about real issues. Yeah, my neighbor bringing my children home. I don't live them over there. yeah, come on in. I was on computer. Okay, thank you. So, you know, we're not here to judge. We're here to help, and that's what we want to do. Y'all hear they home. They all quiet. I mean, they all loud and stuff. So if we don't have anything else, we love you guys. We hope everybody has a good weekend.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And thank you again, callers, for calling in. And to the lady from Canada, I really appreciate you for calling in. That's awesome that, you know, the word about Family Matters with Kenny and Quadrant is getting out there like that. So callers, please continue to go ahead and share with a friend so that way we can have more people calling and getting the help they so rightfully deserve.
Yes, yes. Please share this broadcast, and we'll be back Tuesday. They are so loud. I'm sorry, y'all. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and on Tuesday we will be talking about eating disorders, identifying different eating disorders in our children, and, you know, we have a lot of that. So we're going to talk about different We're going to talk, I'm on the phone, Jared. We're going to talk about different eating disorders, the signs, you know, how to recognize them, and those different things. So we ask, if you can, please join us on Tuesday. If you know anybody that would benefit from that show, you know, ask them to call in. And next Friday, for Free Flow Friday, I hope everybody come back wanting to talk now. I'm on the talk. We love you guys, and you all have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You do the same.
You
God
too.
God bless. Love you too. Good night.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Night, y'all.
Good night.